My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
Seen this morning that the way you have been moving, you will move even in a greater manner in Jesus' name. As we open the pages of your word, we pray you breathe on your word, and your word will be a blessing to our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, by the grace of God, in our message, I will be talking to us about worship. Worship is a prominent activity in every Christian meeting. But today, I will be going to the Old Testament, to the Old Covenant, and we'll go through some things, especially the concept of worship in the Old Covenant, and then we'll see one or two lessons we can pick from there. I structure the talk into two, and the first part will be, it's titled The Priority of Worship. The priority of worship to God. And the second one is pertinent element of the concept of worship in the Old Testament. And the general title is The Old Covenant Rituals of Worship and Lessons for Christians. The Old Covenant Rituals of Worship and Lessons for Christians. The two sub again, I said the priority of worship to God. The priority of worship to God. And the second one is pertinent element of the concept of worship in the Old Covenant. Let's open our Bible to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I'll read from verse 1 to 18. It's a long one, but it's good for us. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian,
And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not near either. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall you thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generation. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appear unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, The Lord God of Hebrews had met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. It's a long passage, but I'm going to bring some lessons out for us that is very important when we talk of worship. If you follow the story very well, you notice there were two needs. If you look very carefully, The first need was the need of the Israelites. The second need was the need of God. When God, from their own end, their need was they needed deliverance. They've been under the servitude of the Egyptians, and they've been praying for years. And God appeared to Moses and then sent him to them. And if you read carefully, you see God over and over talking about the fact that I have come to deliver them. I have heard their voice. I have seen their sorrow. This is time for them to be delivered. And then you think that's just the old thing until you get to verse 18, the last verse that I read. In verse 18, you get what I'm trying to say eventually. If the old thing was the deliverance of Israel, then what happened in verse 18 should not come into play. And that shows the other side of the need of God. He said, you will call all the elders and you will go to the king of Egypt. Then what did God say he will tell the king of Egypt? You will tell him that let my people go so that they will go and do what? So that they will go and sacrifice. Why did God bring sacrifice into the equation? What was happening was the fact that the people needed deliverance. So if the whole thing is about delivering them, what you should expect as the message is that when you get to Pharaoh, what should they say? Let my people go, full stop. So you can see, so in the midst, you see, for when Christians gather together, this always comes to play. But the challenge is only very few people understand that when we gather together, there are always two needs. Your need and the need of God. He will deliver, but ultimately his need is not your deliverance, as good as your deliverance is. Only very few people understand that the primary need of God is what? Worship. So in the midst of I will deliver you, he said, and then when you are let go, the next thing is what? Sacrifice. Because that's his own concern. That's his own ultimate need. Delivering does not cost a dime. So it's nothing to him. But his hunger is that he was looking for people to worship him. So it's only very few people that understand when we come together, when we do anything, that as much as you have needs, God also has needs. And the challenge is that because people are ignorant that even God has a need, they conceptualize a Christian lifestyle that does everything but satisfying the need of God. And so their own relationship eventually will be a lopsided relationship with God. Because you see, the only thing they want from God is their deliverance, their miracle. And he will keep solving their problem. But what happens to him? He keeps getting hungry. He keeps getting thirsty, but unsatisfied. Praise the Lord. You see, now let me run us through some things and then you understand what I mean. We'll run through Let's open to Exodus chapter 5. All the time that Moses appeared before Pharaoh, it was the same message. Let them go. Let them go and serve. But in the mind of the Israelite, what were they praying for? Let us go. You understand? So let's run through it so that faith is founded in Scripture. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Remember that God is repackaging that original request. That wasn't the request. Their request was, we want deliverance. But when God brought the deliverer, this is the way God is presenting their request to the man taking them in bondage. If you understand it very well, he's saying, my people want to worship me. Let them go. But the people, what they were looking for is, let us go. Praise the Lord. Yeah, maybe because of time. So if you check about 7 times, chapter 7, verse 16, chapter 8, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 20, chapter 9, verse 1, chapter 9, verse 13, and then chapter 10, verse 3. So please, if you don't satisfy the need of God, ultimately your needs will not be fully satisfied. That's the challenge. So when we come together and what occupies all our attention is always primarily my needs. And maybe we give some little percent to his need. He will still solve the problem. But the way he will solve it will not be if you had put his need ahead. Praise the Lord. Eventually, you will see that in the temple that God created, the tabernacle, practically, every activity that goes on in the temple is all about God, none about anybody. Everything that goes on in the tabernacle, there is nothing about any individual. Everything is about God. What do they do in the tabernacle of God? What do they do there? The only thing they do there is sacrifices. So, it's sacrifice for any human being. And at the end of the day, the sacrifice ends with a sweet smelling aroma unto God. That's the end of the sacrifice. So, if I come now, I brought my lamb and they kill it. The next thing is sweet-smelling aroma. The next person comes, and then the hand is what? Sweet-smelling. Who is smelling the aroma? Whose is the aroma? So every activity was packaged by God himself for his pleasure. To tell you what he was looking for. In the midst of, we want deliverance. Let's quickly look at some part just to show us. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. Okay. But his inward and his leg shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. In verse 13, and he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. So everything is to produce sweet savour. Everything is to produce aroma unto the Lord. So, because he said, so that they can worship me. And what he constituted now as the service, as the activity in his tabernacle, is for them to be producing sweet savour for him. Is to be doing something that will be giving him pleasure. And you see, this is the old covenant, and then we want to learn from them. Let's quickly look at the Leviticus chapter 1. I may not be able to read all of them, but we'll just go through a few and then bring chapter 1 from verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. It will be a long passage, so let me just explain. There are five offerings, main offerings in the Bible, just five. Two are for sin offering. Three are for God. The sin offering, at the end of sin offering, there's nothing like smelling, sweet smelling aroma. But at the end of the other three, there is what? Sweet smelling aroma. So the first one, you have the burnt offering. The second, you have the grain offering. And then you have the meal offering or the meat offering. So you see them in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, I think up to like chapter 5. The main offerings, there are five. And that's why I said, so, and these are the things that have been sacrificed in the tabernacle. So if three of all the sacrifices, they are for sweet smelling and two are for sin, then you understand what I'm trying to say. And that's the important thing that we should know. Let's quickly look at Genesis chapter 22. So that this is even before the law. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, I bide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and do what? Please let's say it. And do what? What did Abraham go to do? You know this story now. What did he go there to do that is calling worship? To make sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? The burnt offering. The type that produces sweet smelling. That's what they call worship. Noah also sacrificed. And it's also the sweet smelling type, not the sin offering. So the primary need and the ultimate need of God is his worship. And the important thing is this. You see, in the Leviticus that we read, the first set of offering God gave instruction about were the one related to the sweet-smelling aroma, which is telling you about his priority in his assembly. The second one, the next set, are now the sin offering. So if you want a normal, vibrant relationship with God, put priority on what you put priority on. Let them go so that they will worship. So he created a tabernacle and he organized the worship And as they worship me, maybe they can misbehave. So let's put another one for correcting and covering their sin. But the first thing is what? To worship me. Praise the Lord. So we need to start to think about the way we live the Christian life. What is of priority? And let's also start to think about what we package as activities that you go on in the tabernacle. What proportion of it is meant just for God and not for us? I hope you understand. We have other of services. In my devotional life, private life, I say I do morning devotion. Abby, I do. So what do you package as the activities of that morning devotion? What proportion is for you? What proportion is for God? Is the disproportionate, you see, eventually now we'll see Solomon, the sacrifice of Solomon, if you look at it, is also the burnt offering, sweet smelling. Why will God just come with his power and might unto the assembly of people? Because the priority is the sweet smelling aroma. They forget about themselves. And when you look at even Solomon, if you look at this passage, they said, the richest person should bring a bullock, one. And then, if you are not as rich, you should bring a goat or a lamb. And if you are very poor, you should bring what? Bird. But when Solomon wanted to do his own, what did they say about Solomon? He brought 1,000, he made 1,000 sacrifices. Is it aroma you want? I will give you enough. Is this what you love? One cow is too small. So he did one, two. After 1,000, the man that just likes sitting down and just smelling, he would just sit down and smell. What did he do? Praise the Lord. So if we put God first, so maybe that's why in our individual lives, concerning our challenges, nothing is. Because when you go to him, what do? You do everything but satisfying his primary need. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly look at some important elements in the old covenant concept of worship. Leviticus chapter 1 again. In our concept now, if you say we should worship, you know what we do, and I'm not against it. We sing and we do slow song. Have you? Very good. I'm saying we are learning from the concept of worship of the Old Testament. But when they are to worship, what do? They bring something. They make sacrifice. Songs are good. But when you compare it with these people, now let's read it, chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering. So in worshiping, so as I'm going to church to worship God, what do I carry now? I carry a cow to worship. Sorry, we are learning. When you are coming to church to worship, you carry a slow song. It is good. I'm not saying it's bad, though, but I'm just learning. But in their own, what they bring is they bring an offering. an offering out of their labor because they are X-Men. So worship in the old covenant is not cheap. And that's why maybe they call it a sacrifice. So you start to think and learn from them. Praise the Lord. So one important element is that they, you see, the challenge is this. In the, we say we worship, but what we always come to do is to take. That's what we come to do, to take. But they come to give. And we need to start to think, what is the proportion of your taking to the proportion of your giving? As you come to church, assess the take. Has it not become so much headache? You come to take for headache. You understand? Another one, you come to take. You come to take. Now, analyze it. How much have you given? And if you even claim you have given, does it, are there things that cost you? I won't say you should bring bullocks now or ram or anything. But you see, there's another passage where David said, I will not offer something to God that will not cost me something. Have you read it before? He said, no. If you read it, it's also an aroma he wanted to produce. It was burnt offering. He said, the thing I will use to create this aroma will be something that will cost me something. That's why God was working wonderfully in their life. So that element of giving, of sacrifice, and the third one is of absolute submission to God. Those are the three elements I saw. The number one offering that is of sweet smelling aroma unto God is called burnt offering. It's the most common offering in the Bible compared to any other offering. It's like it's the number one offering. It's the most unique offering. It's the only offering that like 99% of it is burnt. Every other offering is not like that. And whether coincidentally or not, that was the first offering. That's the most common offering. And imagine this sacrifice. In fact, there are some offerings, there are some sacrifices that after you sacrifice it, you eat. God eats part of it, you also eat part of it. Praise the Lord. But this is the only one, the only thing left out were skin. Mama. That's the only one left out. Every other thing must be burnt. And that's the number one that God mentioned. That's the one that Noah did. That's the one that Solomon did. That's the one that Abraham did. If you carry 1,000 and you drop it before God and you burn it, if you carry 20,000 and you drop it before and you burn it, what does that tell you? What does that say about you? You carry a whole cow and you present and you burn everything. That's the beginning of true worship. Absolute submission to God. Abraham, the only son you have, sacrifice him as burnt offering. Abraham, understand, burnt offering. is the one you born totally, no remnant. The beginning of true worship is when there is nothing you cannot offer absolutely unto God. If you claim to be worshiping and you have not done that, honestly, you are just dancing for yourself. You are just dancing and jumping for that's height. Immediately Abraham did that. What did God do again? He couldn't hold himself. He started talking. I will do this to you. I will do this. Because he understands that the man is releasing what will cost him. Praise the Lord. So, you see, but this is the Old Testament people that we always say Old Testament. So I want us to learn from what they do in Old Testament this morning. I was also reading this and I was getting all this revelation. Let's change what we call worship. Can you say there is something you have releasing to God and it's costing you? Can you say that? Time. Some people cannot give it. They cannot give it to the extent that it is so obvious that they are infringing on their necessary time. But because it is needed, I will give all of them. And what it is more that is left, that's what I will do use for myself. Do you do that? So think about how we have been living. So now I'm not restricting it to bullocks. I'm restricting it to anything. Do you have anything like that? Generally, we give, but do we give like that? Do we offer? In the New Testament, they say offer your body as a living sacrifice. You can offer, but the underlying thing is, does it cost you? Brethren, I think if you sing, for me, it doesn't cost. It's still at a lower level. Let's sing. Let's praise him. It's fine. But let's graduate to the Old Testament level. Let's close our eyes. I want us to think about our life. I want you to be very practical about it. If you want him to run and answer your case, that's the way they did this. If you have not offered anything that will cost you, you may likely not get an unusual answer to those requests. You just get anything. If you have not prioritized him, his need, that's what he's hungry for. Maybe that's why he's still sitting there and he's just looking and he's still looking. We take ourselves to be higher in the new covenant, but I want us to think absolute surrender. Is there anything God can ask you and you will give it? Something that will cost you. Is there anything like that? I want us to see worship in a different light. I want us to think about our life and pray to God. Lord, now I want to drop my need. The drama said there's barrenness. Drop it and start worshiping him. You don't have job. Drop it and start satisfying him. Whatever challenges you have, It doesn't take him a second. Feed him first. Be releasing costly things to him. Be creating aroma for him. Aroma, aroma. Let your best not be in your house. Let it be in his house. Every thought of your heart, let it be preoccupied by the house, his business. Let everything be about him. Why is his business not moving? Why is his house not more beautiful than this? Why is his project delayed? Creating aroma for God. When you worship him, when you form an habit of worshiping him, when you satisfy him, if you see the things we have read, he will rush. He will rush. He will not be able to hold himself. Abraham got the greatest of promises after the burnt offering. He couldn't hold himself. So I want us to determine this morning to turn a new leaf. And then we'll have the best of miracle. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. In his presence, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Made the best sacrifice for us. And that best sacrifice is his holy begotten Son. And he expects us to give him the best in worship. And this morning, he wants to say, Lord, I'm ready to give you the best of my life in worship. I throw away my life before your presence and I throw it down for you. If you are in that position, we like to lift up your right hand before the Lord. I want to say, Lord, I'm surrendering all to you. I will give all. I will give the best. I will give the best. I will give the best. You deserve the best from me. Thank you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. Just you are as many of us that are taking that step. Just do it with all your heart. Take it with all your heart. Take it with you. Take that decision with all your heart. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. And the Lord will identify all of us who are taking this decision. That God, you deserve the best from me. You deserve the best. I'm ready to offer all my life, offer the best for you. Lord, you will be the priority of my life. You'll be the priority of my heart. You are going to be the only one I'm going to give the best to. The best of my life, the best in everything. Lord, you will take it. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. As many of us who are in this position, would you like to write with me and let's pray together? I want to say, Lord, take it. Rise, rise, please, sister. Please, my brother, rise. Just rise where you are. Rise, we are just going to pray together. Rise, just stand on your feet and let's pray together where you, wherever you are. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Do not just see every one of us. We are so. It is a sign of commitment unto the Lord. It's a sign that we are offering unto Jesus. It's a sign Jesus give. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. This is beyond giving one's life to Christ. It's beyond. It's a life of commitment, of releasing the best to Him. Father, I can see us this morning. Lord, you have thrown a challenge to us to give you the best in worship. Merciful Father, this morning, as your children are responding to your this call, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, come and help us. Help us to give you the best. Help us, O God, to worship you with the best of our lives. To give you the best offering. To give you the best in worship, in burnt offering. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let the sacrifice of our lives, O God, please your heart. Please you in the name of Jesus. We know when we please you with the sacrifice of our hearts, Lord, you will do more than what we think, or more than what we even request in your presence. Yea, Lord, if thou, Lord, could be so pleased to bless Solomon beyond measure, Lord of heaven, as we give, O God, this sacrifice, Almighty God, you will do it. Lord, we place you as number one in our hearts. Priority will be given to you in all. Help us, Father. Help us, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Eternal Father. As you walk upon every life in this assembly, as you walk upon every brother, upon every sister, as you break every hole of worldliness and every hole of the whole nature, and you cause us to walk in your counsel. Help us, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we prayed.